What's going on, everyone? It's time for episode 160 of The Binge Boys. What's happening, Mitch and Matt?
What up, what up?
What it do?
It do, dude. It do.
It be doing.
It be doing. Before we get into our regularly scheduled programming, I don't really have much to say to the people except go follow us on Instagram, Binge Boys Podcast. We got some good plans for social media ramping into the new year. So let's go over there and give it a follow. Make sure you're following along. I see the numbers. I see how many unique downloads there are. There's a lot of you not fucking following. So go follow it. If anything, you could just get to see our trash takes and trash scores on popular things. Some of those things we'll talk about today. However, I don't think our scores are trash in those the things we'll talk about today. And then just go leave that rating and review. It's quick. It takes no time. It's simple. It's the holidays. When you're with family this holiday season, take their phone and go leave a rating and review. It doesn't have to be genuine. Just literally leave a review. It could say anything. Like, it could just say balls in the subject. That's all I need. Just leave that review.
I took my uncle's phone to leave this review.
Exactly. Let's just get a bunch of those. Let's just get a bunch of people saying we took the family members' phones to leave the review. We'd love to see it. Yep. Guys, before we jump into our main discussion points today, how's y'all's Christmas? What'd y'all do? Matt, what was the holiday time like for you this last week?
Dude, it was wonderful. Just some good time with some fam on both my side. My girlfriend's family's able to see everyone for at least a little bit. Nothing too crazy Binge Boys related, just some good classic Christmas movie viewings, Christmas Vacation, Christmas Story. Is that it? If that feels like it, but that just seems like too few. Oh, the Santa Claus. There we go. So at least three. I feel like three is about the magic number you have to hit in like the 48 hours around Christmas time. So yeah, man, it was good. No complaints on my end. What was your Christmas like, Mitch?
I did a lot of the, you know, same stuff, just spent time with family. We did watch Christmas Story and Christmas Vacation. Got to watch those movies. We did a Zoom Christmas, though, so that was kind of different. We Zoomed, like, extended family and stuff, and did, like, not games or anything, but just kind of, like, talked. And we did exchange gifts, though. Like, we did exchanging of gifts, like, ahead of time. Like, we sent them to my grandparents' house, and then, like, each family, like, picked up their gifts from my grandparents' house. And we did that and then just opened gifts at home. So, but yeah, it was nice. It was nice. How was your Christmas, Logan?
Yeah, all the same, all the same. However, I didn't, our family this year, I guess maybe with my siblings getting older and them not just giving a shit much anymore, we kind of like didn't do a lot of the Christmas traditions that we normally do. Is that cookie cake? Oh, okay. Thank you. Shouts to Turner. Never turned out a piece of cookie cake. Oh, well, still a cookie. That's okay. We didn't do a lot of the traditions that we normally do, which is kind of depressing. Like Christmas Eve, what we used to do as kids is we would get to open one gift from mom and dad, of course, because Santa would come the next morning. So mom and dad would give us something, or we would do stockings the night before or something silly. Mm-hmm. And then we would watch the Polar Express as a family. You know, we'd throw our phones in a bucket and leave it in the kitchen and go watch a movie like as a family instead of having the distractions and everything. But this year my parents were like, we don't feel like watching the movie. And I was like, what do you mean you don't feel like it? We've been doing it for 20 years. What do you mean you don't feel like watching the movie?
I think I felt like it every year.
Yeah, you think I wanted to do it? And then we didn't open a gift the night before either. We kind of just, I don't even honestly remember what we did. We did a little, my aunt, Aunt Stacy and Uncle Todd, Tanner. Tanner's been on the run through a few times. Tanner, their little family of four came over on Christmas Eve, and we just, I think we played a board game. Oh, that's right. We played Scattergories, which is just a fun as shit game. If you're
Hell yeah.
Dude, I'll fuck up some Scattergories, yes. Dude. Come on.
Dude, you don't want to see how pedantic I get when I play Scattergories. I'm thinking of every reason in the book to say why your answer is trash.
Dude, that's my role. Because because you know you get like double points if like you use the same letter in your phrasing. So for those of you who don't know, before I get into it, Scattergories is a game. It's just a bunch of categories like things you'd name your pet, dishes, desserts, movie titles, brands, colors, cars, literally everything kind of category in the world. And then there's a die that has every letter on the alphabet. You roll the die, you start the timer, you give yourself a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, and everybody just writes down as many answers as they can for those categories. My dad will do some stupid shit. Like, he'll go, one of the most notable ones is, we had the letter F, and one of them said nicknames. One of the categories was nicknames. So his ass puts Freddie Fender. And I was like, Dad, who have you ever known named Freddie Fender? And he's like, we used to know this guy in high school that always got in a car accident, so we called him Freddie Fender.
Okay, like, give us that verifiable piece of information. We can definitely look it through the records to find that, you know.
Yeah, let me hit up Freddie on Facebook and see if he's really called Freddie Fender. All right, Dad, bunch of bullshit. Yeah. But but yeah, we just played that. We had some time on Christmas, had a little bit of a meal. Our family always does that. We basically just do Thanksgiving 2.0.
Yep.
On Christmas, and yeah, it was good. Still no PS5. In fact, my first gift that I unwrapped Christmas morning was just a picture of a PS5, and it was just and it was a PS5 on a regular piece of paper with the caption, "Couldn't find it, but when you find it, I'll just Venmo you for it." So shouts to them for basically giving me an IOU for Christmas.
At least you got that one out of the way first.
Yeah, I was thinking about it today, and I was like, oh, shit. They really gave it to me first to make sure I had no hopes.
Yep.
But, you know, previously we discussed, like, which version we would get, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm all aboard Team Digital version or whatever. But they got me games for Christmas, and I was like, well, it looks like I'm going for the disc version, but I'm not paying for it now, so I'm going to shoot. So I'm excited to be able to dive into Miles Morales and Assassin's Creed and all that stuff. But I mean, it's going to be a minute before the regular consumers can get their hands on those machines. So I'm kind of just taking it easy on it. They're in my closet. They're ready to go.
Vaccine first.
Yeah. PS5 or vaccine, which one's more likely to come out first? probably vaccine. but yeah, cool. Good to hear you guys had a good Christmas. We love to see it. All in all, especially in times like these, it's important. It sounds like an introduction to an ad, but it's not. It's important to spend time with those you love. And we did the same thing with, like Mitch said, we did Zoom. We did with some extended family members, and you know, that's the best we can do right now. We were going to travel, I think, to Illinois to visit family, but a couple of my cousins have some newborns, and my grandparents were going to come into town. So it was kind of just, you know what, let's keep it low key this year. So that's okay. But going right into it, we got some quickies, and we're going to go at it the quickie way, literally the quick way. And that's just going to consist of me reading headlines This is, you could basically call this the DC Universe episode, because the headlines I'm about to present to you are pretty much just DC, like us riding the DC train. So I'll go ahead and read those off real quick. First headline, Justice League, apparently, according to Zack Snyder, it is on his wish list for it to be rated R when it releases. In a quote from him, he says, here's a piece of information nobody knows. The movie is insane and epic and is probably rated R. That's one thing I think will happen. An R-rated version for sure. We haven't heard from the MPAA, but it's my gut. Another quote. Justice League also apparently will be theatrical. Assuming we have movie theaters when it releases. In another quote from Zack Snyder, I'm a huge fan, a big supporter of the cinematic experience. And we're already talking about Justice League playing theatrically at the same time as it comes to HBO Max. So weirdly, it's the reverse of the trend. And then last little fact about that, Zack Snyder's Justice League is coming to HBO Max as a four-part event and hopefully to theaters in 2021. Next headline. Wonder Woman 3 is being fast-tracked. One of the VPs of Warner Brothers said in a statement on Sunday, as fans around the world continue to embrace Diana Prince, driving the strong opening weekend performance of Wonder Woman 1984, we are excited to be able to continue her story with our real-life Wonder Women, Gal and Patty, who will return to conclude the long-planned theatrical trilogy. According to Warner Brothers, Wonder Woman 1984's opening weekend went far better than expected, the biggest debut since the coronavirus hit, $85 million worldwide, only $16 million of that being in the U.S. But they also said that nearly half of HBO Max's subscribers viewed the film on Christmas Day when it launched, along with millions and millions of subscribers who signed up that week for that release. HBO Max saw the total viewing hours on Friday more than triple in comparison to the same day last month. So shouts to Wonder Woman 3 being released in the next few years. And going right off of that, DC has a new plan that they announced recently where they want to release two movies a year on HBO Max. DC Films president Walter Hamada is one of the high-ranking studio chiefs in Warner Brothers, and he was recently interviewed about the future of cinema in relation to Wonder Woman, like I just stated. And he said that the goal is to have two DC movies annually released on HBO Max, which launched earlier this year. This would be in addition to any other adaptations that are produced by the studio. The piece notes that there could be as many as four DC movies hitting theaters per year starting 2022. That means if all cylinders are firing at max capacity, we could be getting six DC movies a year starting in 2022 for the next couple years. So yeah, those are all our headlines of the week, pretty much a Justice League and Wonder Woman standing podcast this episode, but that is all right. Now for our main treats, Matt and Mitch, do you guys want to start off by discussing the one, the only, the Wonder Woman 1984? You guys want to talk about Wonder Woman?
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right. So, information about the movie. You guys know it, but it stars Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, Pedro Pascal, Kristen Wiig, directed by Patty Jenkins, produced by Warner Brothers and DC. And this movie finds Diana in the 80s, hence the title. We get her adventures of the 80s. Matt, I'll start off with you. You initially hit us with your review the other night. You said you wanted to give it a 4 out of 5. Then this morning you sent a follow-up text saying, never mind, let's back down to a 3 out of 5. Let's talk about that decision. What made you give Wonder Woman a 3 out of 5?
Yeah, so I'll start with, positives. I really like the character. I think that it found a way to kind of get over a lot of superhero sequel issues by sort of coming at it from a different angle instead of having that. Typically, the sequel seems to be the heroes questioning whether they want to be the hero anymore. Think of, you know, Spider-Man 2, think of Superman 2. Like, that's kind of the typical arc for it. But with this one, you know, they sort of emphasize different parts of the character. They sort of showed her as more human and less, you know, weapon that she kind of was in the first movie. So I liked that. I thought the setting was unique, definitely big Stranger Things vibes with the 80s setting, especially in that initial mall setting. But talking about that mall in the very first action sequence, one of the first like cracks of the movie started to show, and just the action was a bit iffy. I don't know a better way to say it. It just didn't quite seem to like line up, and the CG just seemed kind of like drawn on the screen and not actually like taking place like in the world. I know it's computer generated, so it's literally drawn on a screen and not taking place in the world, but
you gotta make it look like that's not happening.
Yeah You got to give me the illusion of that. And yeah, so I was just watching some more clips of it that this morning. And then part of that, I was just like thinking about the villain, and like the idea was good, but just the execution kind of fell apart, like sort of like a different third act problem than what we've discussed with the original Wonder Woman, where I just didn't going like, there are a lot of specifics about how his powers work with the wishing stone, but I just didn't really care. Like, I felt like they were.
Matt?
Mitch, we're losing. 3 out of 5. What?
Oh, for a split second, you froze and I thought I lost you, but you're here. Go on.
Nah. But yeah, so definitely good stuff here and probably worth watching, but just don't go in expecting the best movie ever. Well, what about you guys?
Mitch, you want to take it?
Yeah, sure. Well, I don't think I posted my review yet, but I actually just finished watching before jumping on. And I had to watch this in two parts. I watched like the first hour and a half over the weekend and then watched the next hour before the podcast. And, you know, I was thinking going into this, I was going to be like, oh, this movie's like, I went in with mediocre expectations. Oh my God. Thanks, Ma. The meatloaf. I know. I'm joking. I'm recording here. Where was I? That was a funny bit.
That was great.
Shit. Yeah, so I like went in with like mediocre expectations and kind of, you know, I watched the first hour and a half and thought, oh my God, this is awful. Like, I thought that it was just really bad. Like, it was just really cheesy is what it ended up being. At least that first hour and a half, like everything was very, like very comic booky, which was not necessarily a bad thing, but at the same time, like the scenario that they were in, like with the wishing stone or whatever it was, like it just was very, the plot of the movie wasn't something that I guess, like as a fan of DC Comics, like I felt like it was not something geared towards an adult viewer. Like the concept of the plot. So I don't know. And I feel like Wonder Woman's character isn't necessarily geared towards that audience as well. I think it's mostly for a younger audience. So it, like, I started to, when I watched the second half or the second hour, the last hour of the movie, I was kind of like thinking like, oh, well, maybe that first hour is like very, it was very like not poppy, but like the color palette kind of changed in the second hour of the film. Like it became a lot darker of a situation with, you know, like the nuclear weapons and everybody kind of like wishing for dark things. Like you had that one guy who's like, oh, I wish you were dead. And like the lady literally just drops dead. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, did they really just do that? Like, and it kind of like, it took like a real turn in the second like part of the film. And so I was like, I kind of like didn't know how to gauge the movie as a whole. So I think I'm going to end up rating it like a 3 out of 5, just like what Matt said, because it's very like up and down. Like it has its moments. Some of the action was good at the end, but I felt like I had to wait for a long time to see any of that action. And I liked some of the stuff in when they were fighting in the White House. Like that was pretty cool. But I mean, and the whole thing with Barbara's character, I didn't know how to feel about it. I honestly did not know how to feel about it. So I don't really have a comment on whether it's good or bad, because at times I feel like it could have been good, like really good. And at other times I'm like, man, this is really not that great. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm mixed reviews here, but I'm giving it a 3 out of 5. What did you think about it, Logan?
Well, as you guys have talked, I initially also gave it a 4 out of 5, but as I explain my reasoning, I have a feeling I'll be talked down to a 3 out of 5 as well. I don't know. I felt very similarly.
Join the dark side.
I felt very similar to you guys. Like, okay, so I have to stay with Matt on the fact that that opening mall scene was both. I almost felt like there was two different movies meshed up in this one movie.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, okay, before we even talk about the story, let me talk about the acting. So first of all, let's get this out of the way. Gal is incredible. She's awesome. She's a great Wonder Woman. Yeah. I think she does the best with what she's got. Barbara, Kristen Wiig. This was one I think the whole community was overwhelmingly like, huh? Like when me and Catherine and Jordan watched it together, and Jordan was like, isn't that the chick from Bridesmaids? And I was like, yeah, that's who that is. Her story was very cliche. Like, yeah. Very, yeah. Eddie Brock, woe is me, I'm a loser, no one likes me, I want to be something so amazing. Literally like a copy and paste Spider-Man 3 story where she is a loser the entire movie, and then right at the end, she gets the symbiote. I mean, she kind of had, also, full-blown spoilers for this movie, by the way. Should have led with that, but that's all right. It's a superhero movie. If you've wanted to see it, you would have watched it. Besides, it's fucking free. Go watch it if you're subscribed. But you know, she gets the symbiote at the end of the movie when she's, you know, I think I want to be the apex predator. And I was like, oh my god. Like, some of the writing was really bad.
I think Mitch hit it on the head when he said it was very comic booky, kind of like the worst parts of it, just very broad brush.
And leaning into that comic booky thing, I was pissed off at all of the slow-mo shots. Like, fuck off with those slow-mo shots. It felt also very comic booky, like it's not taking itself seriously. But then I looked at Twitter, and apparently a lot of the filmmakers were trying to embrace the whole 80s thing and make it cheesy. So they know what they're doing with the cheesiness. But
yeah.
I mean, I even felt like the romance between her and Chris Pine, Trevor, what is his name?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Something Trevor or...
Trevor, I think.
Who the fuck knows? Trevor?
Captain America 2.0, basically. I felt like it was very forced and then also, like, not, like, engaging enough. Like... It seemed unnecessary, but then at times it like, oh, these two work well together. But then like, I don't know, like the whole movie is very, very up and down.
Yeah. I think you said it, Mitch. There's moments where I was like, this is awesome. But then there's moments where I was like, no, like, stop. I will say this, and I don't care if you guys completely disagree with me. I think the best part about this movie is Pedro Pascal's performance. I think I know it was very much so over the top. And I don't even know if his character was like a legit real comic book villain or if it was just a character they made up to kind of be in the background of Cheetah. Because to me, this movie is very Spider-Man 3, like to me. Yeah. Like, Sandman's the main villain in Spider-Man 3. I would consider Pedro Pascal, Max, I would consider him to be the main villain. And Barbara being the Eddie Brock the entire movie, and then boom, all of a sudden at the end, she becomes the thing that Wonder Woman fights for quite literally 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean...
A very cheesy fight scene, too. Like, you knew what was going to happen to her, too. Like,
yeah.
From the get-go, you like, know that she's going to get, like, electrocuted. And,
shocked, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't leave any of that up to the viewer. They literally threw it in your face, like, fight scene, fight scene, fight scene, fight scene. Ooh, electrical wire. It's flying in the wind. Fight scene, fight scene, fight scene. Ooh, it's in the water now. Fight scene, fight scene, fight scene. Oh, my God, it's shocking her. Like...
I love it, not to interrupt you again, but like real quick, they had the, when she like flew in on the, with the gold armor and stuff.
Yeah.
And she knocks like all the military guys out. Well, like the one guys that like fell off the top of the thing and into the water. I'm like, oh great. This is going exactly where I thought it was going. Like they had to even show that there's water at that location. Along with all of like the electrical like power plant stuff, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Pedro Pascal, going back to him, I think I quite honestly think he murdered it, but in the way that he knew what he was doing, they were probably like, listen, your character is very full of himself, very egomaniac, very like, I want to be the ruler of the universe type kind of villain. Mm-hmm. And I think he did that well. And I thought it was awesome with like the makeup team, like how they made him over the course of the movie more and more weaker looking, but also at the same time, crazier looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I really fucking liked Pedro Pascal's performance.
Yeah.
But then Kristen Wiig, I'm going to give her, well, actually, no, I'm not. She was so very shoehorned in here. I think the movie could have done without Barbara and Chris Pine. I think it could have just been like a, hey, there's a wishing stone and Max is now the wishing stone. Also, I was kind of butthurt. Again, spoilers. Like when the electrocution did happen, I was like, why isn't she dead? Shouldn't she be dead? Like,
that's what I thought was going to happen. But
I was like, when they went underwater, I was like, oh shit, she's going to drown her or shock her or some shit. But then when she's like shivering afterwards, I was like, what are you? Are you fucking kidding me? She's also being held by Wonder Woman, who was wrapped in gold armor, which should have also had an effect with the electricity. Come on, man. Like, I don't want to ramble on with this movie forever, but
yeah.
I think you both said it. Like, there are moments where I was like, this movie is great. But then there was moments where this movie is not great. but I just chose to go along with it because it's a superhero movie, and I fucking love superhero movies. So, I mean, you guys have any other? That was a very all over the place review. The story, I guess, I didn't even touch on that. The whole wishing stone thing, how people, like Mitch said, were wishing. They're wishing for dark shit. Where's the people wishing to be billionaires? They didn't show us any of that. They just showed, yeah, I wish sometimes I wish you would just drop dead and just thump.
Yeah.
Like the whole plot of the movie relied on everybody in the end to revoke their wish. Like, catch me not revoking my wish if I can become a billionaire.
Yeah, it's like, I just wish for a sandwich. Did that guy who wished for that coffee at the beginning, did he have to revoke his?
Oh. That's a really good point.
Now that he drank that coffee weeks ago in the timeline of the movie.
Wait, and then I also had a problem with the fact that the beginning of the movie started out as a flashback for some reason. I just remembered that. That shows how memorable the opening sequence was.
I think that's what it came back when she said, like, you know, you have to do it like the right way.
Yeah.
I think it like showed how she made the decision to revoke her wish and stuff. But I don't think it was like completely unnecessary because I thought it was really cool, like to see just the cool action sequence. Like I said, when we talk Wonder Woman, the Amazons were like my favorite part of the first one. So seeing them back was tight.
And I think just to compare it again, it was 2.5 hours, folks. This was a long ass movie.
Yeah.
This was Endgame level length for not the same stakes. And I was just pissed the whole time, too, because I knew that Kristen Wiig was going to get shortchanged and shoehorned in because the opening sequence, that was 20 minutes. The mall, that was 20 minutes. And then, boom, the first hour is basically done. And you're like, oh, shit, I haven't even seen Pedro Pascal's character on screen yet. Like, I think they just wanted to do a little too much. If Chris Pine comes back in the third movie, I'm going to be really fucking pissed off. Because, like, just kill the guy, damn it. Like, he was obviously a fan favorite of the first movie, and they're like, well, we got to figure out some way for Chris Pine to be back. Like, I don't know, man. 3 out of 5 for me. I didn't hate it. I didn't absolutely jump up in joy for it. I'd say if I was going to give, I'm going to ask you guys the same. One pro and one con, I'd say I really liked Pedro's villain. And then a con is I think it was just too much. Mm-hmm. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably give my pro to Gal because she's, you know, she is Wonder Woman as far as I'm concerned. Like, you can't tell me anything different. And just the con, the story was just overwritten. I feel like it was just so bloated with crap that didn't need to be there. Mitch, what are you saying?
I was going to give my pro to Gal as well. My con, to try and diverge from both of you all's answers, I would say Kristen Wiig's not performance, but like her role as Cheetah, I guess, in the movie could have been done a little bit differently, but at the same time, it's not bad, but it does feel very shoehorned into the movie.
Yeah. I agree. There you go. Wonder Woman 1984. If you're subscribed to HBO Max, I definitely would say watch it. But because the internet I was looking today is very torn on it. There's some people saying they absolutely hate it. And there's people that say that it's great. So figure out your own opinion about it. And then, enjoy. Next up, Soul. How about that? Soul.
Liked it.
Mitch can sit this out. Matt can talk. And then next Seggy, Matt can sit it out. And Mitch and I can discuss Mando.
Perfect. Start us off on Soul, Logan. I want to hear your thoughts.
General info about the movie there. Tina Fey, Jamie Foxx, and a wide array of Graham Norton also playing the voice of one of the characters. Pixar movie, obviously Disney Pixar. It's probably about an hour and a half, I think 90 minutes, roughly hour and 40. Yeah, so I'll start off on the bat and saying I liked it. However, this movie is did not feel like a Pixar movie to me. I think that the movie didn't capture that magic that the other Disney movies capture. I'm not saying I didn't like it, because there was definitely some good moments in this movie. But it didn't capture the magic of like Toy Story or Up or Cars or any of those. It just kind of felt like, I don't know why they made the movie, if I'm being kind of honest. Down that line, Matt, down it. I don't know. What are your general thoughts? And then we can kind of get into it.
So I really liked it. I was a big fan. I feel like comparing Pixar to other Pixar is like definitely warranted, but also like you're comparing a movie to some of the most iconic movies of all time.
Sure.
And you're not wrong for doing that, but I think like just
seeing it.
Yeah. Seeing it was at a different time and different level of impressionability in your life is going to leave a little bit different taste in your mouth, but yeah, I thought it was good. I agree that at times it didn't quite feel like Pixar, but I sort of saw that as more of a positive. Like I felt like a lot of the art was like realistic in terms of like the way it looked, but definitely not like trying to be, you know, a complete photo realism. But I thought there was just a lot of really cool moments with it, with like the whatever, the accountant Terry or whatever, like interacting like with the world, or in the Terrys and Jerrys. I thought that they had like a really interesting like art style that I hadn't seen before, and their animation was really cool. And then the character of Joe, just seeing like his world and interact with it, and you know, just it's not a big deal that he's like just a black guy and going through doing, you know, going to his barber shop and playing jazz and interacting with like other people. I feel like, just especially after like the protest this summer, I feel like that's sort of the kind of representation that's good, where it's not a big deal one way or another, that he's black, just showing what his experience is. And I thought that was, unique to, and like, especially good for a Pixar movie to sort of show kids that like, yes, it's a big deal. But also like you live your life like in a certain way. It's not always, like about like the political stuff associated with it. That got heavy. Anyway, what's up, Logan? What you going with?
Yeah. Let me just say that the animation in this movie is absolutely bonkers. Like, the first 2 minutes of the movie, I was like, oh my God, like this is really good. Mm-hmm. Like Disney's movies are always very well made, Pixar especially, but like, holy shit, dude. Like,
yeah,
the animation team on this, like if anything, they better be nominated and maybe even win for best animation. I don't know if best animation is a category, but like, I'm sure it'll get nominated for best animated film.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like I'm really torn on it, because I did like it, and I did enjoy it. I don't know. I'm very indecisive about how I feel. Like, again, the representation thing, absolutely. I thought that was awesome. I loved the little bit of culture we got to see. I also didn't realize that, you know, in the trailer for the movie, this isn't a spoiler, but obviously with Wonder Woman, we talk spoilers. So, I mean, I don't know if there's much to spoil in this movie. There's not really anything to spoil. But, you know, in the trailer, it shows the dude talking on the phone, not paying attention, and he falls in the manhole in the sewer. And that's when his soul or whatever comes out. And immediately watching the movie, I was like, so he's dead, right?
Yeah,
like,
he's straight up.
The dude fell feet first into the sewer thing. If anything, his legs are broken and he'll never walk a day in his life. but I didn't realize that we were going to get so much out of Soul stuff, like going back to the regular human world.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just assumed that the whole movie would take place in the Soul universe or whatever, or the Great Beyond or whatever they described it as.
Yep, the Great Beyond, the Great Before. Yeah, I was sort of pleasantly surprised because I liked the New York City that it was, because it was like kind of gross, like New York City actually is. So it's just like cool to, it's just a world like I'd want to like live in and, you know, explore.
Yeah, and I almost wanted to see, I feel like this is another instance where there's two movies in this movie. I would love to see a movie of just Joe and his career as a musician, but as a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Where as the Soul version of Joe and the universe, that, I think if I'm breaking it down appropriately, the Soul aspects, like in the Great Before or the Great Beyond, that was more tailored to children.
Yep.
Whereas the real world was tailored kind of to the adults watching this movie. And I dug the real world examples way more.
Definitely.
I don't know. I think the voice cast did great. Jamie Foxx did great. Tina Fey did great. I didn't realize Tina Fey was in this movie.
Yeah. I thought that they kind of, I liked the joke that they made about it. It's like, why do you sound like a 40-year-old white lady? It's like, well, I don't know. I just picked this voice because most people hate it.
Yeah, that's funny. There was a lot of really good lines as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
clever writing overall, I'd say.
So, yeah, very, very clever writing. I don't know. I agree. I liked the movie. The cast was great. The animation was great. It just, the reason it's not getting a, I don't know what, did I give it a 4 out of 5 or a 3 out of 5?
I think you said 4, but the way you're talking sounded more like a 3, but
let me look and see what I put in the sheet here. It says I gave it a 4. I think honestly it deserves that 4.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason it's not a 5, honestly, is it just didn't capture that Disney magic for me. It just felt like a movie that just was a movie because it's a movie. It didn't like have like this energy to it that I captured. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have felt the Disney magic while watching it, but for me, I just didn't feel it as much as I would have if I was watching, you know, unfairly compared to Toy Story or The Incredibles or something.
Yep.
Go ahead and throw your final there comments in there, Matt.
Yeah, no, I think the reason why it was like a 4 out of 5 for me was, it, you know, as unique as a take it was on kind of, you know, putting something visual to something very abstract of like the soul and personality and whatever, it sort of felt like a bit of them going back to pieces that they couldn't quite fit into Inside Out as well as Coco, just like sort of elements of both of those movies and kind of stitch them together in a way that, you know, like I said, I liked it. So it definitely worked, but it definitely, like Logan was saying, is just a movie and not quite beyond that. So yeah, I think that that's why it gets the 4 out of 5 for me as well. So I think we kind of landed in the same place here.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously it's on Disney Plus. Check it out. No premiere access for this one. Go check it out. I'm sure with the success, I didn't get any numbers or anything, but I'm sure that it did swimmingly with families. So so go check out Soul on Disney Plus. And then Mitch, I guess you want to end this puppy by discussing the finale and I guess the general thoughts on the season as a whole for Mandalorian. Again, full spoilers ahead.
Yeah, Well, to jump into the last episode, I really liked how they brought back Bo-Katan. I thought her character was really good in the episode that she was in early in the season. And to bring her character back was pretty cool to kind of set up where they were going with, I guess, like tracking down Moff Gideon and the Darksaber and Baby Yoda or Grogu, whatever you want to call him. I would say that, where do I want to go with this? Overall, because I don't want to like jump to the end of the episode, because the end of the episode kind of just blows. I think it blew it like everybody's mind. To kind of jump to that, even though we get like, oh my gosh, I want to just jump to the end and talk about the end.
Like fucking Luke Skywalker, bro?
Yes, dude. Fucking Luke Skywalker just shows up out of nowhere in his X-Wing and, you know, is coming to pick up Baby Yoda, Baby Grogu.
That's what the people want to hear, Mitch. At what point were you like, that's Luke Skywalker? Was it like, for me, I was suspicious. Like when I saw the X-Wing, I was like, oh, it could just be Ahsoka or any other Jedi. And even with the hood, I was like when the security footage shows the hood walking down the hall, I was like, it could still be anybody else. At first I was like, what if it's Mace Windu? Like that would have been wild as well. But then, like, as soon as I saw the green lightsaber, I was like, motherfucker.
Well, I really screwed myself ahead of watching this episode. The episodes come out on Fridays, and I normally wait and watch them on Sundays. But my dumbass went on Twitter.
No.
And what do I know? Fucking clip of somebody in a black robe and in green lightsaber shows up on Twitter, on my Twitter feed. So I really was like, oh my God, no way. This isn't real. Like, this isn't a real screen cap from the episode. And I just was like, I kept telling myself that. And I finally was like, fuck it, I'm watching it. And I watched it on Saturday after it came out. And once it happened, like once he shows up, I'm like, God damn it, it's Luke Skywalker. And I was just like, I was more just upset that I found out ahead of time before watching the episode. And it kind of ruined, it didn't ruin it. I was still like super happy and like just stoked to see him on screen, especially that they didn't, I mean, I'm kind of mixed on the fact that they didn't recast another person as a young Mark Hamill. I thought that if they would have done that, that would have been cool. But they decided to go the CGI route and just do like a CGI young Mark Hamill. And I don't know how they did the audio for his voice, because I know Mark Hamill now that he's older or whatever, sounds a lot more raspier, or just like his vocals aren't the same as when he was like in his 20s or whatever. And so I don't know how they, like whether or not they cut the audio from other films. I'd like to know that. And maybe with the gallery episodes that are potentially coming out, maybe we'll get more information on that later down the road. But yeah, I was really happy with the way that the season ended. I think bringing in a character like Luke Skywalker really ties together what they're trying to do with this show. And that's like bring it back to what the original trilogy of Star Wars was like, where it's very practical and the story is very grounded. And with this season, I would say that the use of practical effects and CGI is very well balanced. Do you want to talk about the episode and like the season as a whole?
Yeah, sure. Like, I'll also go in and say that I was pretty pleased with the decision to put in Luke. However, I saw a couple angry tweets about people saying like, I thought the purpose of this show was to explore other storylines. Of course it has to come back to Luke Skywalker. Of course it does. Of course it does. Where I see a little bit of their argument, but at the same time, like the finale, well, that's a lie. I was going to say, if it was Mace Windu, it wouldn't have had such a lasting effect, but damn it. If Samuel L. Jackson would have been up in that bitch, I would have lost my damn mind, but, I probably would have lost my mind more than Luke, to be honest.
That would have been crazy.
At this point in time, I think we're all under the assumption that Mace Windu is dead. So if Samuel L. Jackson would have been like, where's the motherfucking baby? I would have been like, let's go.
I think there are rumors that he might be coming back to do like potential cameo in one of these shows. Like, because I feel like I've seen rumors that his character isn't actually dead and they want to try and bring him back, but I don't know if any of those rumors are necessarily true. So
yeah, I've seen a lot. It'd be really cool if he popped up in the Ahsoka show as like a Jedi that once was or something that she has to go to advice to, or that she just meets coincidentally. But anyway, back to our show. Do you think this is the last of Grogu? Which is the question that I'm pondering myself.
I feel like it can't be, because the connection in that episode that's made between Grogu and I want to say is Pedro Pascal's Mandalorian. I think his name's like Din Djarin or something. Mm-hmm. When nobody calls him that, everybody just calls him the Mandalorian. Yeah. But that connection that's made in the ending of that episode is very emotional, and like, even I don't want to say it brought a tear to my eye, but I felt very like attached to both of those characters. So I'm really hoping that this isn't the last that we see baby Grogu. I hope that eventually we'll see him maybe in like future seasons or something, where he's mastered some skills and maybe looks a little bit older. Probably not. I mean, he's like 50 years old now and he's just a little baby.
I assume he has to be like 50 bajillion years old for us to see any kind of change in what he looks like.
Yeah, I mean, Yoda looked the way he did in Return of the Jedi, and he was like 800 or 900 years old. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, but, I agree. I think, just touching on your other point there, for the whole season, I think the season as a whole was pretty damn great. The first season, while it was awesome, there was a couple episodes for me that fell a little short than the other ones. But this season, I'm pretty sure ever since the beginning, we've just been firing on all cylinders, whether it was Boba Fett or the Dark Troopers or the Dark Saber or Moff Gideon or all of those.
Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano. Baby Yoda, all of the things that we've gotten this season with the finale of Luke kind of made me think like, this is what Star Wars needs to be. Like, the fans are all divided over the sequel trilogy, but this is what I'm talking about. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. The season review for me is just that it was, I felt like they tried to, each episode was not necessarily trying to outdo the previous, but by the end of the season, everything as a whole felt very, everything felt very cohesive and just awesome. Like, it was all, like you said, all the characters that they brought in, all the different kind of side storylines, whether it had been Bo-Katan or Ahsoka Tano, or even the brief Moff Gideon storyline, which I thought they could have, that may be my only gripe with the show this season, is I feel like they could have done a little bit more with Moff Gideon's character, but maybe we just, that's not the last that we've seen of him. But then also we got that huge tease for Grand Admiral Thrawn, man. Future seasons, who knows?
Yeah, I assume he's, I think I've heard the rumor is of the Ahsoka show that he is going to be who she is hunting in her show. So we'll see how that's executed. I'm really excited. Did you watch after the credits?
I did. I was going to post that in the group chat to make sure that you saw that. The Book of Boba.
The Book of Boba.
Coming out next year. Pretty quick turnaround for that show to be coming out.
They must be working on it right now. The fact that nothing leaked at all about Luke Skywalker being in the finale.
Yep.
Is pretty remarkable. Same thing with the Book of Boba. Like, they must have been filming this entire time. And
I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, they only have to film on a pretty small set because they use that LED, gigantic LED screen or whatever for the backgrounds. Yep. And that's something that I always look for in each episode is, where can I see the screen? Like, where's the background? Where's the backdrop?
Where's some the of the,
some of the stuff where you see, like, I think it might've been in the last episode or a couple episodes ago, Mando was riding a speeder and you can tell that he's just sitting on one, like a live action one. And they just have the screen like moving. Because it's all like done digitally, and that's pretty crazy. Like, I don't know if you've seen the gallery episodes.
Yeah.
That stuff's really cool. And I highly recommend, like, anybody listening that's been following along with Mandalorian, if you haven't seen the gallery episodes, to go ahead and watch those as well. Because the way that they talk about all the practical effects, the digital effects, and just like the behind the scenes with the directors and writers and stuff is really cool. Big shout outs to Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau and George Lucas, you know.
Our Lord and Savior.
Our Lord and Savior. What is it? George, John, and, or no, shit, it's Dave. Damn it. I'm gonna shut up now.
No, I think you hit it. All praise to the Most High. Isn't that what DJ Khaled says? All praise to the Most High. And the Most High is Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, and George Lucas too, but mainly the other two. They are the reason. Yep. They are going to be the reason that Star Wars succeeds in the future. I will say that.
Yes.
And I think that's it for episode 160.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's all I got.
Like we said at the top, we'll see you guys. We'll see you guys on Friday this week. Special bonus epi coming up on Friday. Top 10 albums and songs of 2020 episode coming out Friday. It probably won't be a full length, or it might be a half hour or maybe 25 minutes or so, but hey, it's a bonus epi. We did it last year, we did it the year before, and we're doing it again. So we'll see you guys on Friday for episode 161. But right now, go rate and review, go follow on Instagram. You guys know what to do. I'm tired of pitching it. Fucking
follow,
do it.
That IG,
do it. Follow that IG, or Moff Gideon will come for your ass.
And don't forget to take your uncle's phone and leave a review and subscribe on it.
Yes, absolutely. I guess the episode will drop on Friday. That'll be New Year's Day. So everyone be safe on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't get in trouble or arrested or COVID.
The big three. Stay away from all three.
Stay away from all three. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
See you guys.
Peace.